family, good morning. It's good to see you virtually. Just want to invite you this morning, right now, wherever you find yourself, just to allow yourself to be forgetting what has gone on in the past, what is coming up. Let's just make the decision right now that we are going to give the Lord a sacrifice of praise. And it's funny, I was thinking this week about, there is a book I'm reading, and they mentioned just the whole title of service, that we call this a service. And it's easy just to think services, that's where we go and we sing. But there's an aspect of serving when you're in a service. And so right now, our service is to the Lord. That's going to be being attentive of the Holy Spirit's movement. That's going to be projecting our voices, singing. Even if we don't like the songs, that's okay. I just want to encourage you. Allow yourself to, your mind just to say, God, I'm going to give you all that I can. And let's start with this moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that we're in this place, wherever that place might be. In the sanctuary outside, I see good numbers outside just getting ready to praise the Lord. I see people in their homes. God, we're here already. May you be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together if you're willing and you're able to give the Lord worship.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah.
Light into the world. Light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I see, knowing I will find. Oh, you're all I need in you alone. In you alone.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, yeah.
In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, an ending joy. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, an ending joy. And I will follow you where you come, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. When you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go.
will go where you go. I pray, Father, that is our heart today. In your mighty name. Let's hear a word of the Lord this morning through Molly.
Good morning, church. Today I'm going to be reading 1 Corinthians 3, 5-9. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants the seed and the one who waters it have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are the co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Let's all worship the Lord together.
Amen. Let's do just that.
Break as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world, His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him. Open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. God who comes to save, God who comes to save, is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was saved for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb.
Let's prophesy right here. Come on.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
Hallelujah. Every knee will bow before You, God. Every tongue will confess. Let's sing that.
Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the land that was saved from the seed of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Well, every knee will bow before Him.
Let's stand in His love.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. No, no, no. When my fear doesn't stand a chance, when I stand in Your love, my fear doesn't stand a chance, when I stand in Your love, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide when I am not a captive to the light. And I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. Oh, no, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. Every day, oh, this power that can empty our grave, this resurrection power that can save, this power in Your name, this power in Your name, this power that can break off every chain. This resurrection power that can save, this power in Your name, this power in Your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance.
Come on, one more time. My fear doesn't stand a chance. Let's sing together.
Oh, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. My fear. stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Hallelujah.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Hallelujah. We don't have to be slaves to this fear. The fear that grips us. You are loved by the Creator of the universe. The one who made you for a purpose. With all your good and bad that you think is bad, God thinks it's beautiful. Now be aware, I'm not talking about sin now. Everything about you is what God intended for us to work through, to live with, and sometimes we're healed from it. No matter what it might be, if it's a fear, maybe it's a sickness. We're made so that we trust in Him. And while we're focusing on our witness right now, that goes for that as well. We don't have to fear any of it. We are in His love. Hallelujah.
You unravel me with a melody, and you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies until all of my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Mother's womb, you have chosen me. The love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Child of God. Oh. my songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondages. We're the sons and the daughters.
Slaves of fear. We can live a life fully in the confidence of the Lord. Just want to encourage you this morning. The future looks bleak. If you listen to the words of social media, the media itself, there's a lot going on in this world. There's a lot that you could be fearful of. And there might be a lot going on in your life. I don't know. Sometimes fear, if not dealt with appropriately, is a sin. The Bible encourages us not to fear. There is a ton of scripture about not fearing, but not fearing and I want to encourage you right now that we can't let our fear immobilize us to do anything. Opportunities are there, and sometimes they get us nervous. Maybe it's witnessing to someone, sharing our faith. Maybe it's stepping out in a job or in the neighborhood. Maybe it's the concern that I might lose a friendship over it. That takes listening to the Holy Spirit. And as the Spirit prompts, our response is to go. Where He goes, we go. Where He stays, we'll stay. And in this moment right now, just take off all the shackles all that shackles you, all that burdens you, allow the Lord to fill you. Take it to prayer. At the end of the service, we'll have a slide showing how you can connect with prayer leaders. And it's a private session. There's ways that we got you sent into breakout rooms to pray, where it's just you. It's one-on-one, just like we used to do on up on here. And have an opportunity to share. If there's concern, if there's fear there, and as you respond to the message as well, take that opportunity. Let's battle things the way we should battle. Allow the Lord to be our strength, that we stand in His love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, as we leave behind the burdens, the fears, the concerns, the worries on our mind, I pray, Lord, that we would step in to the deep with You. That our gaze would be on You, just as Peter did as he stepped out of the boat. His gaze was on You. I pray, Holy God, that we would do the same. That we would fight these battles on our knees. Father, allowing You control. Giving You control. And that peace that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church family. My name is Noah, and my family and I are doing the announcements today. But wait, I'm not sure where they are. Let me try something. It worked! Hey, guys, can you help me out with the announcements?
Noah?
Well, of course. Good morning, lifers and guests. It's a beautiful day today. First, I want to start by asking you to all fill out the connection card.
You can fill one out by visiting our website at www.alightonline.com and clicking the connection and prayer tab. There, you can submit prayer requests and questions for Pastor Greg. You can also get information on baptism, groups in common, and other ministries. Pastor Greg takes the time to read each one of them. Well, let's get to it. Oh, that's a bigger mess.
Hey, guys, did you know today is the last day of the month?
Oh, that's right, Noah. Today is January 31st. And that means it wraps up the end of January's devotionals. Well, I hope you are all encouraged and challenged this month to start seeking God more and to see how God wants to use you more this year.
Well, let's get this cleaned up, and we can continue our announcements, okay? Here we go. Whoa, that didn't work. In fact, it's even messier. Oh, no.
Well, I guess we have to move on to our next announcement.
Okay, go ahead.
Our next announcement is after service prayer. If you would like prayer after service, join one of our private Zoom rooms. Go and pray with one of our prayer partners. The Zoom info will be on our after service slide, or you can find that out on our website, www.alagonline.com. And I think Nico might need some prayers for this mess.
Maybe. I think Dennis might need some prayer for his dad jokes.
Yeah, my scripty dad jokes.
Anyways. Well, for our last announcement, I wanted to take some time away and speak to the ALAG women out there about the Sisterhood Life event. This is a free virtual event for women next Friday, February 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. This event is hosted by the Women's Ministry Director for the Assemblies of God, Northern California, Nevada District. Register here at ncnwomen.org. Now, let's get back to the family. We want to thank you for joining us today. We love you guys, and we really miss our A-Like family. We hope you have the best day and a blessed week.
All right, Pastor Greg, are you ready? You're up. Good to see ya.
Bye.
Thanks, Noah. I'm ready, buddy. I'm up. You guys are awesome. Love you, Marshalls. Hope everybody's had a great week. And it's hard to believe it's the last day of January. And today I want to bring you a message entitled Progress, Not Perfection. Say that with me, would you? Progress, not perfection. Back in high school, there were three of us that were inseparable. Myself, Tim, and Dan. I first met Dan in seventh grade. We sat next to each other in band. He was a sax player, and I was a sax player. And we enjoyed each other's company. We found out that we both were soccer players. And one day he even showed up to school in a blue and gold number 32 jersey the same day I showed up to school in the very same jersey. We were the two shortest kids in the seventh grade at our middle school. We just became fast friends. One day he invited me over to his house, and when I went over to his house, I rode my bike there, and we found out we had the exact same 10-speed bike. And then we began to play in his room, and he pulled out his tape recorder. That's a thing where you put these little devices inside, and you could speak into it, and it would record your voice. We had the exact same tape recorder. It was destiny. Me and this guy were just designed by God to be friends. We were so alike and had so many interests in the same way. So we became fast friends and just hung out very, very close in seventh and eighth grade. We got into ninth grade. Dan met a guy named Tim who was also in my freshman algebra class. And so through that interconnection, the three of us began to hang out and just became very, very, very close. We had just about everything in common. We loved the same things. We enjoyed each other's company. The one thing we did not have in common, however, was Jesus. When it comes to reaching out to others, not all Christ followers are comfortable with reaching out. There are fears, there are concerns, and there's the fear of doing it right, using the right verses, saying the right words, being able to answer the questions in the right way. And if we can't do that, we feel like we've failed. We feel like failures. We feel like we failed God. The person that didn't accept Jesus, maybe. And we feel like because they didn't, you know, weep and cry in repentance, that somehow we didn't do it right. And that somehow we failed. We feel those failure feelings when we get our eyes on ourselves. What if I don't say the right words? What if I don't use the right verses? What if I don't explain things so clearly? What if I get asked a question that I don't know the answer to? Well, you will get asked those questions you don't know the answer to. You will stumble over the words. You will maybe not say, you know, the verses in quite the right way and maybe miscommunicate the addresses of those verses. Well, other questions are, well, what if the person, you know, rejects me? What if the person thinks, you know, that I'm some kind of weirdo? Well, sometimes that may happen. If we wait to become perfect, we're never going to share the gospel. If we wait to be able to do it exactly, you know, the way we dream it in our minds, it's never going to happen. See, God didn't expect perfection. He's the only one perfect. He expected progress. He expected his people, whom he already knew were imperfect. How many mistakes did the disciples make when they were following him? And then later on in the book of Acts, how many more mistakes did they make? Too many to count. So you see, God is not waiting for us to be perfect. If he was, no one would ever share the gospel. His church would have died out a long time ago. The fact is, you will mess up. You will struggle. You will stumble. You will get asked questions you can't answer. What God expects is progress, one day at a time, one reach at a time, one kindness at a time, one word at a time, one relationship at a time. God is looking for progress, not perfection. Let's read again the verses that Molly read at the beginning of the service. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 9. It reads this way. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. as the Lord has assigned each to his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. See, notice, God did not command us to save people, but to point the direction to the Savior. See, the reason God didn't command us to save anybody, because it's impossible for us to save anybody. We don't have saving power. Someone gets saved when, by some supernatural Holy Spirit way, the person somehow understands the truth about Jesus Christ. They understand their relation to Jesus Christ in their unholiness, and they make a surrendering decision to submit themselves to his lordship and begin to follow him each day. We can't do any of that. All we can do is be, as we learned last week, witnesses. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, just to say things like, this is what happened to me. That's what a witness does, right? A witness simply says, this is what I saw. This is what I experienced. This, to my knowledge, is what occurred. That's what a witness does. And that's what he's called us to do. We can't save anybody. So this prospect of thinking we failed if someone doesn't get saved really isn't on us. It's that interaction between that person and with God. When Jesus said, go out and make disciples, he didn't mean go out and save them. He simply means, this is what I know. This is what I've experienced. This is my following experience with Christ, and this is what I've learned by reading God's word. That's what we're called to do. Nothing more. And in this obedience to Christ, there is a process that we've been working on, the process of cultivating, planting, watering, and harvesting. And this can be boiled down to some very, very simple words. When we cultivate, we're simply saying, be a friend. That's it. We can all do that imperfectly, but be a friend. In the planting, it's tell a friend. At some point, there is the introduction of the name Jesus. For the Bible says that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Number three, we water, we stay with the friend. We've all done that. We've all had friends for years. You just stay a friend. It's not any more complicated than that. And then number four, in the harvest, we save a friend. Now, say, I thought you just said we can't save a friend. Well, I don't really mean we save them, but there is that moment when through our cultivating, planting, and watering, that through that walking with the friend, that hopefully by the power of God, they come to that understanding themselves. And we get the chance to lead them in that surrender. There's this progress. So in this progress, as we pursue that progress, not perfection, there are three things I want to give us, three principles to progress in sharing our faith. Number one, it's not about us. Number two, we're to share with whom we are, share what we can, when we can, with whom we can. And number three, understand that our natural work, taken hold by a supernatural God, will result in amazing results. Number one, it's not about you. It's not about you. At first, I was nervous about sharing with Tim and Dan. Didn't know how they would react. I knew that they didn't know Jesus. I didn't know if it would somehow damage our friendship or if somehow it would just create problems. You know, I thought about hiding it. You can do that. You can hide a lot from people. I imagine that you've got people in your life that don't even know you're saved. You can hide some things from even family. But to your close friends that you walk with every day, pretty much can't hide anything. And with Tim and Dan, we couldn't hide anything. They knew I knew Jesus. They knew that after my freshman year of high school, I made the decision to follow him. And there was life change that occurred in my life. They could see those life changes. And they knew something was different. I decided to follow my Savior. But I loved my buddies, and I knew that I couldn't just remain silent. They were my friends. After all, If you love someone, why would you not want them to come to know the God who gave his life for them? And so I used to share with them, and I'd choose my spots wisely. We spent a lot of time in the car going place to place, and every now and then when the opportunity would arise, I'd bring in Jesus into the conversation. Or when we walk from place to place, I'd bring in Jesus into the conversation. And really, nothing happened. There was really not much response. Well, I got to take that back. There was response, but not the response I was expecting or the response I wanted. Every time I'd open the door, they'd quickly shut the door. And sometimes they'd shut it with a slam. Winchflag, would you shut up? We're tired of hearing about it. We don't care. We're not religious like you. It's not something we're interested in. Would you stop? And so we'd stop and we'd carry on other conversations that were real common. Conversations about school or girls or what we're going to do that Friday night. I didn't take it personally because I knew it wasn't about me. We loved each other. We were friends. Something happened in my life, but that didn't change the fact that we were friends. Paul writes this, "What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything." It's not about you. We're only servants. I'm not anything. You're not anything. We just do what we're told. It would have been easy to make it about me and stop sharing with them, but it wasn't about me. They needed to know Jesus, and they didn't know Jesus, and it was too important. It was never really comfortable to share because I knew that there'd be some kind of a, you know, pushback, but it had to be done. So it would create some apprehensions. The four top reasons, according to a recent poll in 2020, about why believers don't share their faith with Jesus, the top four are these. We're afraid. Number two, we don't feel qualified. Number three, we're too busy. Or four, we don't think it's our place. Can you relate to any of those four? Maybe you can relate to all four. I can. I've been in all four of those places where I've just been nervous, kind of fearful about the response, don't feel I know everything. I've kind of gone beyond that one. But in my early days of the faith, I would feel like, oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know the verses. We're too busy. Oh, that one comes up all the time. Just wrapped up in my stuff. Or sometimes I just don't feel like I want to impose. Now, have you noticed that all four of those issues, those reasons why we don't share our faith, are self-centered? All four of those are all about me. I'm afraid. I'm concerned about how they'll respond to me. I don't feel like I can succeed. I am too busy with my stuff. I don't want to butt in on somebody else's life and feel rejected or put them out. You know, I'm sure the drowning person really, really would like the lifeguard to impose on them in that moment. I'm pretty sure the doctor, or the patient rather, would really like the doctor to impose on them when it's a life and death situation. I'll never forget, a few years ago, I was in the hospital, and the young nurse came into my room. I was on the top floor at Kaiser in Santa Clara, and I learned that when the nurses make their rounds, sometimes they start on the top floor and work down. Sometimes they start on the bottom floor and work up. That particular day, I was on the top floor, and I was this young nurse's first patient in the morning to do the blood draw. And so she couldn't have been more than early or mid-20s. I don't know. The older I get, the younger people seem. But she looked to be maybe 23, 24 years old, a young Asian girl. And she came in, and I was her first patient of the day. She came in all chipper. "Good morning, how are you, Mr. Winchlag?" And I'm thinking, it's like 7 o'clock, and you're the last person I really wanted to see. I want to sleep. But she was chipper, and we started to engage. And so she says, "It's time for your blood draw. Got to get you ready for the day." Okay, fine. So she began to work on my arm, and she pressed in the needle, and I could see on her face that she was struggling with it. And she didn't quite get it in right because no blood came out. So she tried again. didn't quite get it, and she's getting a bit frustrated now. And she tried a third time, and it didn't quite go. And finally, in her frustration, she stomps her foot on the ground, and she says, "Oh, I can't get it in. It's going to be a bad day now." And I thought, I'm the patient here. It seems like you're making this whole ordeal about you and about whether or not you can succeed getting the needle in my arm when, hello, I'm the one in the hospital. I'm the one needing some help, and you're kind of concerned about your inability to succeed. So she finally did get it in, but it was eye-opening to me how in a situation it cannot be about the person in need but the person who's trying to minister. I see those parallels a lot in our sharing with other people. Sometimes we really do make it about us. See, when the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that they were changed, that they received a boldness, they became bold in a way that they were not bold before. And I used to think that boldness was inserted into their life, that they were not bold, and then God by His Holy Spirit had like this bucket of boldness, and when He came in, He just poured the boldness into their life. You know, I've learned that I'm not sure that's true. That it wasn't about them receiving a boldness, but when the Holy Spirit came on them, it was a reduction of their selfishness. You see, because before, they were concerned about the Romans. They were concerned about the Pharisees. They were concerned about their status. They were concerned about their safety. They were concerned about the consequences. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, it appears that they were no longer concerned about those things because of how they behaved. They spoke without a concern of retribution. They even rejoiced when they received punishment. They were no longer concerned about how they were viewed by others. They were only concerned with the Lord God and the Christ who died and sharing that Christ. You see, the boldness really was not the result of some addition, although the Holy Spirit did the work. But it wasn't this bold substance that was injected into them, but it was a selfishness, a self-awareness, a self-centeredness that was reduced from them. That's why we have verses like Galatians 2:20 when the Apostle Paul says that I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's a reduction. Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Die to self, follow me. It's a reduction. The boldness rises as the reduction of self occurs. And that's really what we need today. If we're going to be able to share the gospel, we got to make this first step of progress. That it's not about us. It's not about us. Number two, do what you can, when you can, with whom you can. I continue to live my life for the Lord around my buddies in high school. I went to youth group, went to youth camps, went to the retreats, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. And it was very, very clear that there were two lives that were parallel. That there was my church youth group life, and there was my high school life with my friends. And since I lived a bit further away from the church than most of the students in the youth group, none of those students came to my high school. I was the only one from my school that went to that youth group. And my friends didn't really want anything to do with Jesus. So there was the two lives. And they didn't cross except for maybe on an occasional celebration, a birthday or something, when I'd invite friends from both and they would interact. Kind of a strange existence there with people I enjoyed on both sides. But I would keep taking my opportunities here and there when they came, and the response was just about the same each time. And so I learned just to live my life around my friends that I had already planted the seed in, but they weren't ready to receive it. And so I would just continue to water that seed, sometimes with words, most of the time with actions. I never even thought to move on to different harvest fields. Never even crossed my mind that you would abandon these people that you love because they don't want Jesus, and maybe you go to some other people who might want Jesus more. It never even dawned on me that that's something that people would think. They were just my friends. And we just were together. And we've always been together. And this is who we hang out with. And I just happen to be one who follows Christ. And if they're not ready to receive that, then okay. We're going to be friends. And life went on with the knowledge of Jesus. Very evident, very visible. Their friends were my friends. Their families were my friends. Their extended families and neighbors were friends that we were together. A Christ follower in the midst of many who didn't follow Christ. Paul writes in that same passage, "The Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose." God has given us a purpose. You're to water, you're to plant, to cultivate, but only God can make it grow. So do what you can, when you can, with whom you can. That's our job as servants. Here's what I've learned, that of the four, planting and harvesting are relatively quick. I mean, you can have one conversation that lasts 2 minutes and introduce Jesus, planting of the seed. Or maybe it's a longer conversation, but the planting of Jesus is a fairly quick thing. The harvesting is a fairly quick thing. It doesn't take very long to sit with someone and have them say, you know, I'm ready to receive Jesus. And you introduce them and you pray with them. And you show them the basic steps. And that's relatively quick. What takes a long time is cultivating and watering. Those two can take years. And in the whole, farming process, it's the same. To cultivate the soil, to pull out the stones and the thorns and the weeds and get the ground ready takes a long time. Planting is fast. Just pop, 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 drop those seeds in, good to go. Cultivating takes a long, watering takes a long time. As that seed is underneath the ground, and it may be weeks or months before it germinates and comes through the surface. And then harvesting is rather quick. It's the cultivating and watering that take a long time. And we have to get used to that process. And it's okay. Some of us get really, really anxious when we've been cultivating a while and haven't yet had the time to plant, or rather haven't had the opportunity to plant. It's okay. Keep watching for the opportunity. We think we've been watering a long time and we haven't yet had an opportunity to harvest. It's okay. Watering takes a long time, often, until that harvesting time occurs. It's all right. Let's make progress. Do what you can, when you can, with whom you can. See, I want to say this. The times are short and there is urgency, but we cannot rush. That's important, isn't it? It's important to know this. The times are urgent, but we must be careful not to rush. Timing is everything. And God's timing is perfect. I've made so many mistakes in sharing my faith with trying to rush someone when they weren't ready. And sadly have reaped the sorrow of maybe damaging someone or having them harden their heart because I didn't wait for the Holy Spirit's timing. Have you noticed about Jesus in the Gospels? He was never in a rush. He allowed people, after he shared the truth with them, to walk away. What happened to them later? The Bible doesn't tell us. People like the rich young ruler. What I know is this. The Holy Spirit was working before I came into their life, before I spoke, and the Holy Spirit will keep working after. We take our opportunities with to say what we can, when we can, with whom we can. While we're doing this, three things I want to give you. Number one, be patient. Be patient with people. Love because you love, not because you're on task. I stay with my buddies because we're buddies. I don't stop loving you just because you don't want my Jesus. I'd like you to have him, but you're still my best friends. There's some people in my life right now that I've shared with for over 30 years. Still, not yet ready. Sometimes watering takes a long time. It's okay. Be patient. Be patient. I've heard, and you've probably heard, about bamboo. A bamboo, once it's planted, it sometimes will not break the surface for literally years. My facts may be a little bit incorrect, but I've heard that sometimes 3 to 5 years it takes for a bamboo seed to germinate and then finally break through. And bamboo is a grass, but you can build houses out of bamboo. You can build bridges out of bamboo. It's strong, really strong. Sometimes, if it takes a long time, doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. It's just maybe producing something really strong. Be patient with people. Be available. Be persistent, but be patient. Number two, be consistent. After high school, I went on and played soccer at community college. And I was the only Christian on the team. And so when you're the only Christian and you don't do what everybody else is doing, it's kind of hard to blend in. It's kind of hard to mix. So I just lived my Christianity. I'd pray before each match, unashamed, even on the field. I'd take a knee and say a prayer. When everybody else was doing what they were doing, I'd be with them, but not sharing and partaking in the activities that were ungodly. But they were my teammates. So it wasn't necessarily this intimate relationship, but you know what I found very interesting is periodically one of those guys would come along in private. Maybe we'd be on our way to dinner after a match and somebody would say, "Hey, I'll ride with you." We'd get in the car and they'd say, "Hey, I've been meaning to ask you." And a conversation would come up about Jesus. Lots of conversations happen that way. Because consistency matters. People aren't always willing to step out and expose themselves. But like Nicodemus, who came at night to Jesus, the seekers will come and find you. Be consistent. Be available. Be there. And number three, be you. Be you. There have been many times I've been tempted to try to put on the Christian act. We all know what that looks like. Oh, be happy all the time. Be joyful. That's what Jesus people do. We're always giddy. Even when bad things happen, oh, well, life is still great, isn't it? And everybody sees right through that like it's a screen door. Be you. It's been a year since Sandra and I have been able to enjoy our friends at the dance studio, but we have enjoyed that for the last 7 or 8 years. And I just crack up remembering the conversation I had with one lady when she asked me what I did for a living, and I said I'm a pastor, and her face got all screwed up, and she was confused, and she finally blurted out, "Do they allow you to do this?" And to her, that there was some kind of strange inconsistency in her stereotypical mind that pastors don't dance with their wives or have any kind of fun at all, really. That you just walk around with a suck lemon dour face because life is so serious. You can be you. God made you you. And sometimes we cry, sometimes we laugh. Sometimes we get excited, sometimes we're struggling. Just life is life and it's real. And when people see someone trying to be obviously not authentic, then it's hard for them to believe what you're trying to tell them is authentic. Be real. Be you. It's okay. God made you you. And you will be able to reach people I'll never be able to reach because you're the way God made you, and your personality, your way, your words, your just manner is different. And I'll be able to reach people you won't reach. So do say what you can, when you can, with whom you can, and be patient, be consistent, be you. So it's not about you. Do what you can, when you can, with whom you can. And number three, God will take your natural effort and make it supernatural. That's what he does. Here's what Paul says. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Only God makes things grow. We will each be rewarded according to our own labor, for we are co-workers in God's service. Only God makes it grow. I can't make it grow. You can't make it grow. It's not possible. We just sow the seed. We're just servants. We're just doing what we're told, and we know it's not about us. We just do the task that's assigned to us. But God will do things that we otherwise thought were impossible. I do have visions in my mind. I see the picture in my head when I pray for people that are my friends that don't know Christ. And I envision them being in the sanctuary with us with their hands raised praising Jesus. That dramatic change that comes. And sometimes I get tempted to think, it'll never happen. But then I look around our group of the lifers and I see how God has changed your lives. And I know you have stories of the way you used to be with the way you are now. And I know God can transform people because He transformed us. So I see these pictures in my mind of how God is going to supernaturally transform somebody's life. He may change people that I don't expect. But I know if I'll do my part, He'll do His part. If I do what I can do, He'll do what I cannot do. High school ended with proms and graduation parties, and Tim and Dan and I graduated together. In those days, I think you can still now, but you can choose to who you sit with. And so we sat together. We walked across the platform together, got our diplomas together, and then was our custom from our East Bay High School. We would all shoot over to Pomponio State Beach on the coast and throw our sleeping bags out on the beach and spend the night by the bonfire. We did that on graduation night, and Dan went off to tech school in Arizona. From there, he joined the military. Tim and I went to community college, and then Tim went off to San Jose State, and I went off to Bethany Bible College. I'll never forget the call, Saturday morning, 5 a.m. Who in the world calls me at 5 a.m.? I had to roll over and pick up the receiver because there were no cell phones. He said, this is Dan. Of course I know. I knew his voice. 8 o'clock his time on the East Coast, either North or South Carolina, I can't remember. He began to tell me the story of how he met a guy in the military who began to share with him, who began to also water the seed that had been planted in the cultivated ground. And after all those years of resistance, after all those years of rejection, all those years of stubbornness, he told me about how his friend introduced him once more to the saving power of Jesus Christ. And this time, Dan was ready. And Dan told me how he accepted Jesus. Not only did he accept Jesus, but he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. From there, he met a girl. They got married. She was a believer. Had 2 kids. They raised their kids to serve Jesus. Dan shared the gospel with his younger sister. She became a Christian. She married a Christian man. Their kids are serving Jesus. He shared with his mother and father, who have passed away now. They accepted Jesus before they passed. You never know how the one seed is going to turn into many, many seeds. Took Tim a little longer. I remember talking to him as he went off to San Jose State. And sometimes he'd come help me do youth group outings in the 80s. But on one phone call, he told me about how he wanted to go to church. He married a neighborhood girl. They began going to church together. And he knew all those talks. He knew it was right. He just didn't want to. But when the timing is right, he made the decision to give his life to Jesus. And they have 3 children, and all those 3 kids are serving Jesus today. See, you never know what the seed will do and how many more seeds there are there. I cultivated, I planted, I watered. I never got to harvest them, but I don't mind. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about my success or my thinking about what success is. It was just doing what I'm being commanded to do. Progress, not perfection. Staying with people. Being patient. Being consistent. Being real. And watching God do something supernatural that we could never do. See, the only real failure in sharing your faith is not sharing your faith. That's it. If someone rejects, that's not failure. There's a seed planted. If someone responds in a way that isn't favorable, that's okay. The Holy Spirit's still working. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. And upon hearing the name Jesus, the Spirit begins to work. Begins to work. Begins to work. And doing things that we could never do. Bottom line is this. You can't fail when you share Jesus. He just wants us to keep making progress. If he expected perfection, the church would have died out long ago. Because there's not one perfect person who's ever shared the gospel on this planet. But the church didn't die out long ago. Still vibrant, still moving. People are still coming to Christ. Because he's the only perfect one. He's just asking us to make progress. It's not about you. Do what you can, when you can, with whom you can. And God will take your natural effort and make it supernatural. Let me ask you right now, who are the people that are on your mind? I know they're there. I know you have people on your mind right now. People that you've shared with. People that you'd like to share with. Who are they? I'm going to take the time to pray with you for them. If you've been working on the cultivating, it's okay. Keep cultivating. And ask God to give you the understanding of when the right timing is to plant the seed. Don't let your fear get in the way of planting that seed. Just ask God for the timing. And it's not about you. Let the Holy Spirit just withdraw any self concerns so that the boldness of God may blossom inside of you. Be patient. Be consistent. Be real. Let God use you. Then watch what he'll do. Who are those people? You probably have many at the same time. I know I do. I've got a whole list of people. But I want us to pray together that God would help us. For nothing happens without prayer. That God would not only help us, but God would just make that seed burst open to grow in those people's hearts. And in 2021, whether or not we get to meet in person, who knows what's going to happen in our future? It's not about meeting, it's about salvation. My prayer is that you'll see your friends be changed, be transformed. Because of the seed that's been planted, the seed that gives life. Would you pray with me? Let's pray for our friends together. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every lifer. I know, Lord, that they have friends, family members, loved ones, that they want to see come to you. Because we know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that no one comes to the Father but through you. We know that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We know that unless we surrender our lives to you, that there is eternal life and there is eternal death. We know all this to be true. God, we pray for our friends. I know right now there are many, many, many faces that are flashing in my mind right now. People that I love, that I care for, but as of right now, they don't yet know you. But God, there's also the images of faces flashing across my mind of people that once did not know you, but now they do. Giving me courage and hope. For Lord, you've transformed many people over the years. And you will continue to transform. You've just simply asked us to cultivate, plant, water, and harvest. Lord, we know that cultivating and watering takes a long time. Give us patience. Help us, Lord, to be consistent and real. We know that planting and harvesting may take an act of boldness. Lord, help us to die daily to our sense of self, to die daily to the thoughts of self of what about me? What will they think? What if they resist? What if they reject? God, forgive us for being so self-centered that we would put ourselves between someone else and salvation. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might be the witnesses you call us to be. And Lord, we look forward to the testimonies. I know we're going to hear them this year. I know it. We're going to hear of lives transformed because you are moving. You are teaching. You are motivating. You are convicting us. And I thank you for that blessed conviction that arouses us to do our part so that you can do supernatural work. So God, today we pray for our friends. And we ask you in Jesus' name as we go out into the world this week that we would do the work you've called us to do. For we are only your servants, assigned with the task. We cultivate, we plant, we water, we harvest. But only you makes it grow. Those who plant and water are nothing. Only God makes it grow. And today, God, we commit ourselves to doing our part so that you can do the supernatural work. We praise you, Lord. We give you glory. In the precious name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. Amen. Lifers, make a list, would you? I've got a list. Make a list. Write down those names. Begin to pray for them daily. And then begin not only to pray for them, but to pray how God can use you to begin to do something, to make progress. It won't be perfect. It's okay. But God is after progress, not perfection. As soon as we say our scripture verse, there's going to be the address of our prayer partners online. You can go and have a private prayer time with one of our leaders. Make sure you use that. We all could use prayer. Go ahead and dial into that Zoom ID and pray with someone. But let's go and progress. And know that God will take that effort and he'll do something mighty with it. Mark chapter 1 verse 17 says this. Let's all say it together, shall we? Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Let's do that this week, lifers. Love you. Miss you. Have a good week.
There's a fire in your eyes that burns through all my pride. There's an altar in your hands for the laying down of my plans. Here I am now. In all of me bows.
Thank you. And I